Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews chapter 10, page 1300 in your Scofield Bible, beginning with verse 16 and reading through verse 25. Read these verses responsively. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25. And shall we stand to do so, please? The text verse is the last verse of our reading, verse 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where no remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's, of course, the truth. Thank you that it just fulfills our every need. We pray that you'd bless now to our hearts that which you want us to know, to hear tonight. Thank you for giving us this place, these friends, these your people with whom we fellowship in this place. Thank you especially for our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
The apostle said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There are several things listed in this passage. I'll read them to you. And all of these things are things that we're supposed to do so much the more as we see the day approaching. It says, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, and so much the more do that as you see the day approaching. Having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and so much the more do that as you see the day approaching. And our bodies washed with pure water, and so much the more should we do that as we see the day approaching. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and so much the more should we as we see the day approaching. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, and so much the more we're supposed to do this as we see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more should we be faithful to church as we see the day approaching. But exhorting one another, and so much the more should we exhort one another as we see the day approaching. Now, I'm not sure what this day is that approaches. I think it means both death and the rapture. I think it means the day when you will not be able to serve God on earth anymore. The day when you will have taught your last Sunday school class. The day when you will have gone on your last bus route. The day when you will have preached your last sermon, the day when you will have fed your last hungry body, the day when you will have clothed your last cold feet or body and shod your last cold feet, the day when you have given sacrificially to others for the last time. In other words, that day, it may be, I hope it'll be for me, the rapture. If not, it'll be the time of death. But as you see the day approaching, When you can't serve anymore, serve so much the more. And as you see the day approaching, when you can't witness anymore, witness so much the more. And as you see the day approaching, when you can't help people anymore, help people so much the more. As you see the end approaching, whether the end is physical death or the rapture of the saints, as you see the day approaching, work even harder and harder and harder. I want to speak tonight on the subject, as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our Heavenly Father, bless this message to our hearts tonight, please, please. Amen. You know, I've watched Christians through the years, and I've watched them as they grow older. It seems the commonplace thing is that the child of God, as he grows older, sort of lessens in his zeal and service for God. And he wants to give the reins over to the younger people so they can take over. And he can sort of have a little vacation as he gets older. When you get 60, 65, 70 years of age, or even when you get 45 or 50, I've served my time on the bus route. I've served my time in the soul winning. I've served my time in teaching a Sunday school class. And so let others do it. Now, that's as fallen from the Scripture as drinking liquor is. It's not scriptural. The Bible says so much the more we're supposed to serve God as we see the day approaching when we can serve Him no more. So much the more are we to pray. So much the more are we to give. So much the more are we to go soul winning. So much the more are we to build our Sunday school classes as the day approaches. You know, they call that in track a finishing kick. A fellow who runs a mile run, he runs the first lap and the second and the third, and usually there are four laps in a mile run. And then when he gets toward about halfway finish of the last lap, he starts his finishing kick. So much the more as you see the finish line approaching. So much the more as you see the race is in approaching. So much the more. And the apostle said, whether it be by death or by the rapture, as you come closer to the finish line, increase your service for God. Increase your zeal for God. Increase your sacrificial giving. Increase your soul winning. Increase your service. Increase your bus route effort. Increase your zeal. Increase your productivity. Why? So much the more as ye see the day approaching. I've watched preachers through these years, and I've been alarmed and disgusted and discouraged as I've seen preachers getting up 55 years of age. A pastor said 55 or 60 years of age and says, I think I'll turn the reins over to somebody younger. Not me, buddy. You're going to have to pry me out with a crowbar. I'll guarantee you one thing, buddy. Not me. I want to run faster now than I used to run. I want to get more done now than I used to get done. So much the more must I be as I see the day approaching. You know, when I got about 50 years of age, for the first time in my life, I saw the day approaching. Now, I wouldn't look at it before, but I had to face reality that when you get about 50, you realize you're mortal. You're not here to stay. And I'm telling you what I'm in last night. I don't kick as high as I used to. No, I do kick as high as I used to kick. But I get tireder after the kick than I used to. I don't get any more sleep than I used to get. But I want more than I used to get. I get up same time I always got up, but it takes me longer to get up. Used to, I'd get up in 30 seconds, I was up. Now, two or three hours, I'm up and on my feet. And I can feel a little bit of the creeping up of age and so forth in my body. But the honest, simple truth is, I don't plan to let up. I plan to exert more energy, but if I have to do it to get the same amount done, so much the more as I see the day approaching. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my Bible says you've got to give an account to God for every moment. Didn't say every teenage moment. Didn't say every young married moment. Didn't say every middle-aged moment. It says every moment. And that means, by the way, I may say before, my mother started the first bus route that the Levon Drive Baptist Church of Garland, Texas had when she was 75 years old. She started the first bus route. You see, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, there are several so much the mores I want to talk with you about tonight. The first one is this, so much the more reality as you see the day approaching. Somebody said to me this week, said, preacher, the difference I see in your preaching now and what it used to be, it's more seemed more real than used to be. You know why it seems more real than used to be? It is more real than it used to be. That's always been real, but it never has been. I mean this. It never has been as real as it is tonight. This book has never been as real to me as it is now. It's never been as much God's book as it is now. I've never loved it like I love it now. I've never read it as much as read it now. I've never memorized it as much as I do now. I've never thought about it as much as I do now. Why? I see the end approaching. I see the day approaching. I see the day when I can no longer preach it. I've got to preach it harder and faster and more. Why? Because so much the more as you see the day approaching. This matter of prayer has never been as real as it is to me. Never has been. I mean, I've never in my life had the faith in prayer I have tonight. I've always believed in prayer. I've always believed that God hears and answers prayer. But you know what? There's not a 7-day period that ever transpires in my life when I don't get at least 8 or 10 letters or comments how that God has performed miracles in answer to prayer and the prayers that I have joined with people to pray. You see, you say, well, how's the age of miracles is over? No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. The age of believers in miracles is over. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, who never changes, the Bible said, never does. Now, I want to say this tonight. I've never in all my life believed as much that God hears prayer as I believe it now. And I've never seen God answer as many prayers as I see Him answer now. I'm saying so much the more reality of the Word of God and of prayer. Now, I want to say this tonight. All in the world we need to get is the one thing, and that is it's real. It's real. People that are lost are going to hell, and it's real. The fires of hell are real tonight. They've never been as real to me as they are now. People who walk in through these doors and sit in these pews and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ go to hell. And they burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Well, I know. A leading evangelist said he did not know for sure that hell had fire. Well, I can show him. If you just take a Bible, I can show him hell has fire. Then should have said to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire that prepares the devil and his angels. Mark 9 says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Psalm 17, I think it says, wicked shall be turned into hell and all those that forget God. Listen to me. Listen. This message of Christ is real. Jesus was born of a virgin. He is the living Son of God. He did die on the cross in our place. He was buried for 3 days and 3 nights. He did rise from the grave. He did ascend to the Father. He does sit on the right hand of God tonight interceding for me. He is building a home in the glory world for me. He is coming in the clouds of glory. The dead will rise, and the living in Christ will rise, meet our Lord Jesus in the air. And those who are saved will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And there will be a great white throne judgment where people who die, who live without God, and that will face God and be cast into hell. And there is a hell where they'll be persecuted and tormented day and night forever and ever. And there is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare Him a dwelling place there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's real. It's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. And as I see the day approaching, I realize more the reality of this book and of God's amazing salvation plan. God's love is more real. I believe those of you who've been in this church for these 25 years nearly, that I've been your pastor, I believe you can see that my messages on the love of God have come more frequently than they used to come. Because to me, the love of God is more real tonight than it ever has been. They sang a while ago, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest
that Jesus loves me. How many times have you heard me say this? How many times have you heard me say, you heard me say, I don't know any better news than this. God loves you. And I've never been so captured with the love of God as I am tonight. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strength. Listen. You show me a person to whom heaven becomes real, and this book becomes real, and God becomes real, and hell becomes real, and salvation becomes real, and I'll show you a person that will so much the more serve God as he sees the day approaching. So much the more as he sees the day approaching. Not only so much the more in reality, but so much the more love. I believe, you know, sometimes I say this often, sometimes I'll get thinking, maybe the church ought to have a younger pastor who could maybe be a little more the age of the young people. But always come back to this. There's something that youth cannot give you as much as age can give you. Because there's something about the maturity and the seasoning of years that deepens and broadens a person's love that nothing else will do. And as I see the day approaching, I feel more love than I ever did. I've always loved my people. I was reading a sermon of mine preached here about 20 years ago. I was reading it last week. I always like to read the best sermons in print. And so I was reading this sermon I preached about 20 years ago. And I was interested in what I said. I spent some time and told you how much I loved you. And I did. But there's no way to compare the love I felt for you 20 years ago and the love I feel tonight. No way in the world. I mean, as the day approaches, I want to love more. Listen, no church has ever been loved any more than this church is. Now, I can't do all I want to do. It's a big church. I can't be all more than one place at a time. I cannot do all I want to do, see everybody I want to see, or see everybody who needs to see me. But I'll tell you what, I may shortchange you sometime on good preaching. No, I won't shortchange you on sincere preaching. But I may shortchange you on good preaching, and sometimes this old throat of mine may get a little raspy and hoarse as it's been lately. And sometimes I may shortchange you on eloquence, and sometimes I may shortchange you on brilliance, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You've never been shortchanged when it comes to a man of God behind the pulpit loving the people in the pew. You never have. I was thinking last night, I have no high school senior class in this church has ever been loved as much as this one has. You know why? I can love more than I loved last year. And I do so much the more as I see the day approaching. 25 years ago, this August 22nd, Saturday night, I was preparing myself for the last sermon I'd preach at Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I died. Literally. I got in my car, spent all night driving around town. Tomorrow morning, my last message, the folks thought it was the next night. Well, we left town, they came back on Sunday night expecting to see us, but we weren't there. We're gone. But Saturday night, I got in my car and I drove around town. I literally thought I would die. I drove around the city and these knuckles knocked on every door in that city. It had 27,000 people then. Has about 160,000 people now in Garland. And by the way, at that time, one family out of every seven in the city of Garland attended the Miller Road Baptist Church. I don't think any church in history can hardly say that. One family out of every drive down the street, seven houses, one of them was a member of our church. And that night, I drove around town. I thought I'd die because of my love for those people. There's no way to compare what I felt then to what I feel now. There's no way to compare how I felt this morning when those young folks came across the platform, got their testaments with the way I felt 25 years ago. There's no way to compare tonight what I felt while these young folks were singing. No way to compare it with what I felt 25 years ago. I'm saying, look, as the day approaches, If you're getting older, serve God more. But you say, I'm tired. Serve Him how you're tired.
I get tired sometimes. I'll tell you what. Older I get, I work as hard as I ever did, but I get tireder from working than I used to. And I go as hard as I always did, but I get a little tireder. But the Bible said, didn't say so much the less as you see the approaching, so much less soul winning, so much less zeal, so much less productivity, but so much more reality, so much more love. Thirdly, as you see the approaching, so much the more burden. There are times when I wish maybe I could have this burden lifted just for a while. I'm sure if it were, I'm sure I wouldn't enjoy life. But I have much more burden than I had as a younger man. 34 years ago, this morning, early in the morning, Sunday, May 13, 1950, my sister and I went to the little apartment where my daddy lived to get his belongings, for he died the day before. 34 years ago, May 13, today, on a Sunday afternoon, he was buried. And that morning, we went to his apartment. Here's what we found. One change of clothing rolled up in a little, with a piece of rope. One change of clothing rolled up just rolled up like this in a bundle, piece of rope around, that's all he had. One change of underwear, one change of socks, no tie. My dad didn't own a white shirt. He didn't own a suit. He did not own a pair of dress shoes. He owned only work clothes. He had the ones he died with, one pair, one change in his room. He had one change of clothing. He had a little toy cannon, about that long, little toy cannon, and one other thing, a bottle of whiskey. That's all. That's what our dad left us. And brother, if that is the only reason in this world why I hate sin, that's enough reason. The devil squeezes everything he can get out of you and then leaves you to die and take you to hell. He doesn't care anything about you. Why in the world you young folks want to follow the rock music crowd? They haven't got any use for you. They want your dollar. That's all they want. They haven't got any use for you. Why in the world? Haven't got enough sense to get out of the taverns and walk with God. The tavern keeper, he doesn't want anything out of you except your money. That's all the devil does. He takes you and squeezes till your life is gone and your dreams are gone and your hope is gone and your air castles are all gone and your family is gone, your health is gone and takes you. I saw it. One bottle of whiskey, a little toy cannon, and one change of clothes. That's the will and testament my daddy left to my sister and me. 34 years ago, this afternoon, 3 o'clock, or 2 o'clock, 34 years ago, we sat in the O'Neill Funeral Home, Dallas, Texas, on a Sunday afternoon. Exactly. Same day of the month as today. Same day of the week as today. We sat in the O'Neill Funeral Home. I walked by and touched my daddy's face. And you've done it, most of you. Nothing as cold as the face cold in death. We followed a hearse down 40 miles down to a little town called Italy, Texas. 34 years ago today, on a Sunday afternoon, we lowered his body into the grave. Went back to the Hillcrest Baptist Church that night, just within an hour after we lowered my daddy's body, and after that I went back and stayed some time there at the grave, as I've told you before. Amazing thing about that, Dr. Evans, I cry more over my daddy's death today than I did 34 years ago. I hurt more tonight than I hurt 34 years ago. I drive out to the cemetery. My daddy's body's been dug up and placed out there in the mausoleum. And I'll drive by that little mausoleum out there where my daddy's
bones and what dust is left of his body. And I hurt more, and I mean this, I hurt more than I hurt 34 years ago. I used to dream about once a month that my daddy was alive, that I was preaching to him in a service, and my daddy walked the aisle and received Christ as his Savior. For years, I dreamed that about once a month. Then I'd wake up. I'd be so happy and wake up, and I wanted to go back to sleep because I had to face reality. He wasn't alive at least once a month. After 34 years, there's hardly a seven-day period ever goes by without me dreaming of my daddy being alive again. I carry his picture in my billfold. The only picture was taken in the last few years of his life. I carry his picture. And I take it out every Saturday night before I go to bed and get on my knees and look at his picture. And I say, oh, God, help me to preach with the same fervor tomorrow that I wanted my pastor to have the one time that my daddy ever sat in church beside me and my mother and my sister. Sometimes preachers say, I'm tired of the Lord. Tired of it. Okay, then get tired of it, but still have it. So much the more. I've got to have more burden. I've got to shed more tears. I've got to hurt more. Why? The day is approaching. I'm 57 years old. I don't know how many days it is till my approaching day comes, but I've got to hurry. I've got to cry while there is a land where you can cry. I've got to win souls while I live in a land where there are lost souls. I've got to reach out and help hungry people while I'm in a land that has hungry people. I'm saying this is no time to stop, no time to rest. This is burden-bearing time, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more reality as you see the day approaching. So much the more love as you see the day approaching. So much the more burden as you see the day approaching. May I say this, and I'm testifying now. So much the more joy as you see the day approaching. I remember when I first came here, on an old-fashioned day, we had Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. here. Remember that? And Dr. Charles Weigel. Dr. Weigel was in his middle 90s, I think. Early 90s, maybe. Dr. Bob Jones way up there. And while Dr. Weigel was preaching, well, it was a Sunday school hour. He got happy. Doc, you've seen him time and time again, I'm sure. He got happy. He held his hands up. He forgot anybody was out there. And looked up into heaven and just began to shout. You know, that scared me. I was only 33 years old. That scared me. I'll be honest with you. I'm not kidding you. You let me live till 90 years old, and I'll make Weigel look like an Episcopalian rector, I'll guarantee you. I mean, if I keep on like I am now, I don't know what's going to happen. I tell you, I just get so full now, I want to explode, and I clap my hands and say, praise the Lord. Why? I'm 1,000 times happier right now than I was when I first began. What joy. The psalmist said, the old psalmist, David, with his hair as white as the flakes of the snow, with his shoulders drooped with many a battle and many a sorrow, many a heartache, with his brow furrowed by sin and his face wrinkled with the toil of the years. The old psalmist David looks up to God and he says, I will praise thee more and more. And you check the Psalms of David, you'll find those early Psalms of David rarely ever say, praise the Lord. But you check the 146th Psalm, 147th Psalm, 148th Psalm, 149th Psalm, 150th Psalm. Oh, he says, praise ye the Lord. I like it when he said, praise ye the Lord, ye his host. Praise ye the Lord, young people. Praise ye the Lord, the birds in the sky. Praise ye the Lord. He said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Hey, he said, you hippopotamus, start praising God. Nothing personal to you overweight people tonight. Come on, you fish in the see, praise God. Come on, all you birds. Come on, raven. Come on, old crow. Not talking about any of you men tonight either. on, hyena. Come on, beast of the field. Come on. Hey, you got any breath? Praise the Lord with it.
He said, I'll praise thee more and more. I wonder why David said that. I didn't know why. I know why. Because after you served God all these years, you have more blessings to recount. I used to get so upset at older people telling us all the things that happened while they were young. I served my time, kids, listening to it. Now you sit still and listen to me tell mine. You know why? I got more to tell. More blessings. More victories. That isn't all. I praise Him more and more because of more forgiveness and more of His patience and more of His mercy and more of His long-suffering and more of His understanding and more of His compassion. This week I was down in Odessa, Texas, and I walked in, and the song leader was a young man, middle-aged man now. I was his pastor when he was 15 years of age. You've heard me tell about the story about the little lady that came to me, Mrs. Hartsfield, and said, Brother Howes, would you give your life story? Because my boys are getting the idea you got to be an ex-drunk or an ex-dope addict or an ex-murderer or an ex-convict to have a good life story. But one of those boys was named David Hartsfield. The other was named Carmen. David was the principal of the school where I was Monday and Tuesday. I was at a church and have a school like we do. And David, now 45, 46, he was the principal. Of course, I was so proud of him because I was his pastor when he was 15. We got to talking at lunch on Tuesday about Miller Road Baptist Church and some events there. And numbers of you heard me tell this. We got talking about one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard in my life. David's brother Carmen, who was 17, was called to preach. Carmen and David's mother, the Hartsfields, had mother, father, one girl, two sons. they moved, and we bought their old house, bought it, rented something, out in a little neighborhood called Spring Creek. We turned it into a church, a little chapel out there. And Carmen was only 17 years of age, and he was a pastor of that little chapel out there. And they're having a big day one Sunday out at that little chapel, Spring Creek Baptist Chapel. And so Carmen wanted to borrow some chairs. He came on a Saturday and knocked on my door in the office, and he said, Pastor, we're having a big day tomorrow. I think we might have 150 in Sunday school or something. The little house turned into a church. He said, could we borrow some chairs? I said, sure. Get you a pickup truck out there, the church truck. I'll haul a bunch of them. I told him where to get them. But he said, I can't do it by myself. I need some help. Well, this fellow named Cortez, I won't tell you his last name, but Cortez was there. He's was a young married man. And Carmen said, Cortez, would you help me carry these chairs and load them up and drive out to Spring Creek Baptist Chapel where I can put them for our big day tomorrow? Cortez said, sure, sure. Well, Cortez was a happy guy. He's the one I told you about that he'd sit out in service and say, praise Jesus. Pray. You wouldn't say amen. Praise Jesus. Pray. One of the sweetest men I ever knew in my life, young man. So they drove out there. Both of them had overalls on. Got out there to the chapel. And they put the chairs up. Had it all ready for the next Sunday. Poof it right here. Little platform for the chairs. And Cortez said, Carmen, I'm a little backslidden. I haven't shouted as much today as I usually do. I'm a little backslidden. And Carmen said, he's 17 years old now, pastor of that little church. He said, well, he said, I can help you. And Cortez said, how? He said, sit down out there in the congregation. And I'll preach. I got my sermon with me. I'm going to preach tomorrow morning. I'll preach it to you if you want me to. Well, Cortez sits out there by himself. Nobody else there. Carmen gets up, opens his Bible, pair of overalls on. He has a pair of overalls on. Opens the Bible, reads the scripture, prays, and preaches the sermon. Well, Cortez comes out of his backslidden condition, starts saying, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. And Carmen hadn't learned to preach yet, so he's a mighty good preacher. And, boy, he's cutting loose. Now you're going to go to hell if you don't get born again. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus. He preached for 45 minutes. We were reliving this the other day, David, brother Carmen and I. While Carmen was right in the middle of that message, the door opened over here. Young lad, 17 years old, walked in. David told me the name of the guy because he remembered his name. He walked in. How would you feel if you walked into a house, saw one fellow in overalls standing behind a pulpit screaming and hollering, you got to go to hell if you don't get born again. Another fellow out there saying, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Well, that's exactly the way he felt.
He had a little hat on. He took his hat off, looked up at the guy screaming, got the guy praising Jesus, and sat down over here. Old Carmen didn't break stride. Then he doubled his attendance in just a minute like that. He didn't break stride. He kept on preaching to hell. It was hot and the sin was black. Salvation that was real, a heaven that had golden streets. And he kept on preaching it. And when he got through preaching, he said, "Now, would everybody in the audience bow your heads?" Both of them bowed their heads. He said, "Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here in this service today? You do not know that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You want to be saved, but you don't know you are. Would you raise your hand?" That 17-year-old high school boy raised his hand. And old Carmen said, "Well, we're going to stand and sing just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And Cortez's singing was just as ridiculous as his praise Jesus's were sweet. But they stood and Cortez sang a solo. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And that 17-year-old boy walked down the aisle and got saved. Now, here's the thing I told David. I said, "David, in that story is one of the saddest things of my life." Cortez came to me, a young man, and said, "Pastor, what should I do? God's called me to preach. What should I do?" I didn't know what I know now. I was sincere. And I said, "Preach." He said, "Shouldn't I go to college?" And I said, "If God calls you, God will lead you." And I said, "You stay right here, and God will help you preach." I'd give anything if I could relive that one day. Cortez did stay. He did try to preach, but his heart was warmer than his head was full. It wasn't long till he dropped out of the ministry. And then I heard a few years later, he committed a crime, went to the state penitentiary. I don't know whether he's out or not. And I went to bed Tuesday night thinking about him. And I got to think about all the mistakes I've made through the years. Not meaning to make them. And then I got to thinking how good God's been. Isn't God good to have patience with us? Isn't God good to put up with us? Isn't God good to overlook our faults and use us anyway? Isn't God good? His mercy endureth forever, the Bible says. So much the more joy floods my soul as I see the day approaching. So much the more reality. So much the more love, so much the more burden, so much the more joy, and so much the more urgency. I don't think I've ever felt like we have to hurry like I feel now. Let me tell you why. For years, several of us who had banded together in a meeting one night in a southern city, several of us got together. And we promised God we'd give ourselves to trying to do what we could to go up and down this country and inspire preachers to build churches and go soul winning. We got together and we gave ourselves, and realizing that somebody's got to save this. And brother, the White House is not going to save this country. We can't even get the Russians to come and run a race with us. And whoever got, why are we all upset about that? You won't play ping pong with us. Man, we got stupid politicians going all the way to Moscow. Personally, I don't care if they want to play ball with me or not. Care less. I think it'd be a good thing. We disbanded all athletics in America except high school athletics. Got all the dirty politics and all the stupid millions of dollars we're giving a guy for knocking a ball over the pasture with a stick. Silliest thing I've heard of in my life. That's another subject, but I'm in the mood to get on it. So much the more as I see the day approaching. But several of us got together, and we covenanted together we'd give our all, do what we could to help stir the preachers and churches in this nation. In that meeting was Dr. John Rice. He's gone. In that meeting was Dr. Ford Porter. He is gone. In that meeting was Dr. G.B. Vick. He is gone. In that meeting was Brother Lester Roloff. He is gone. In that meeting was Dr. Bill Rice. He is gone. I and one other preacher are the only ones still living. As far as this country is concerned, I don't have as much help as I used to have. I'm not the Moses to lead this country out of the wilderness. I know that. But I've carried a burden for my nation all these years, and so much the more as I see the day approaching. I must take up the slack. My responsibilities are greater. My mail is more. My calls from preachers who need help have multiplied. Now, if you want to go ahead and when you get 50, 55, 60 years old, 65, 70, just sort of take it easy, go down to Florida and get you a pair of loud pants and a shuffleboard and push that little disc down that little piece of concrete the rest of your life, go ahead. But, brother, as far as I'm concerned, I'm on so much the more as I see the day approaching. I'm not criticizing anybody. I mean that. I realize tonight that there's some folks here, and I'm saying I'm not criticizing. I'm saying, for as I'm concerned, but when are you going to retire? When I get to glory, I'm going to retire. Get me a pair of Bermuda shorts as soon as I get to heaven. I'll have glorified knees. And I'm going to go out there in the corner of Hallelujah and Door to God streets where they got that heavenly golf course. Every old preacher that goes up there makes a hole in one every time he hits the ball. I'm going to retire. I told somebody last night, I probably shouldn't say this, but brother, if I ever get to where I can't preach, sometimes I think I'll just try to get me a bottle of pills and see how many of them I can take. I'm not going to do that. Well, somebody here has got something you let me borrow tonight. The older I get, so much the more is the urgency. One last thought. So much the more dreams. I used to think God made a mistake. Over in Joel 2:28 and 29, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the old men shall dream dreams. And the young men shall see visions. I thought God got that cattywampus. You don't dream dreams when you're old. Your dreams about your future come when you're in college. I said, dear God, you blew it. Young men dream dreams. The old men see visions. I mean, they're senile and see much stuff not there. My mama's having more fun than she ever had in her life. I've never seen my mama so happy. She's been places she never could afford to go before. Bless her heart this afternoon. She said, that's a good sermon this morning, son. She said, son, she said, I did some checking around. You'd be glad to hear this, she said. I did some checking around. I investigated some old ladies around me. She said, they like you. Thank you, ladies. Just thank God she wasn't sitting up here in this section. She'd have taken the pills this afternoon. I used to wonder why God said to old men to dream dreams. I know now. I've got more dreams tonight than I ever had in my life. I've got more things I plan to do than I ever had in my life. I dream tonight about the future more than I ever dreamed in my life before.
I understand what the Lord meant in Joel 2:28-29 when He said, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all flesh, and the old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. We're not here for long. It's just a while. I was out at the cemetery the other day looking at the names in that little pastoral garden, the First Baptist Church, where our folks are buried side by side there. And I got to thinking about years we spent together. It won't be long till you and I are out there, our bodies. The day is approaching. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deed that I have done where there will be no setting sun. So, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. While going down last dreary road, I'll try to help some traveler's load and try to change the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Why? Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no setting sun. And since all of us, and many of us now, have been here all these years together, we can see the day approaching. So much the more we must serve. So much the more we must love. So much the more we must pray. So much the more we must be real. So much the more we must dream. So much the more we must have a burden. So much the more. So much the more. So much the more as we see the day approaching. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, our lives.